Well, hello everyone. I trust that each of you are having a great day in Christ. And I'm really excited about sharing with you some things that I want to share with you about having victory over the reign of sin in your life. And particularly from a passage in Colossians. So let me just begin to read from Colossians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, the elementary principle of the world that can be bought into by Christians is the whole concept is you have to achieve to be able to receive anything in life. But the gospel is, because you're in Christ, you can achieve as a result of having already received. See, the world says achieve so you can receive. The gospel says you've received all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has, and therefore you can achieve from him, by him. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. In verse 9 and 10 are amazing scriptures. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Let me read it again. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Therefore, if you understand that all the fullness of deity dwells in fullness in Christ, then the very next verse makes sense. Therefore, in him and in him, you have been made complete or made full. You see, if in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells, and you're in him, then you get to draw from his completion, his fullness. It's Jesus that completes you. No physical, no human relationship, no amount of wealth, no amount of prestige or position can ever complete you. Christ, you are created to be completed in God. And so Christ is your life. And so in Christ you are complete. Not just completed in the sense of having a good self-image or having a good identity, but completed in the sense that everything that pertains, according to 2 Peter, to life and godliness is already yours, because you are now joined to Christ. Amazing. And in him, verse 11, you were all circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know, the Old Testament talks about the circumcision of the heart. Here he's talking about the circumcision, the cutting off of the flesh, that principle in us that enslaves us to sin. In verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, when you were dead, it could do nothing about your fallen and broken condition. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you were still being dominated by that evil principle called flesh in Scripture. He made you alive. He made you alive. He is all grace. He did it while you were dead. He made you alive. He made you alive together with Christ. Such a powerful scripture. Having forgiven us all of our transgressions. So having forgiven us all our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ, in union with Christ. And we'll look back at this in just a minute. Having canceled out, having forgiven all your transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Jesus. The Father, having triumphed over them through Jesus. Now listen again to what this verse 13 and verse 14 says. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. When did that happen? When he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Let me say something about forgiveness. You have been forgiven of all your sins already. Your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. At the cross, which is where it says, he canceled out all our transgressions, having canceled out all our transgressions, and we received forgiveness of sins when everything was nailed on the cross. At the cross, all of your sins were future. And yet, he forgave all of your sins, past, present, and future, from the cross. They were all paid for. Now, he talks about a certificate of debt that was hostile to us, that was nailed to the cross. The certificate of debt was the list in the spiritual realm of all the commandments of God that you have broken and how you broke them every time you broke them. That's a long certificate. And it was hostile to us because it condemned us. It condemned us. And Jesus took that. He says, Scripture says that he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, who had never sinned. The Father made him, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ, he became sin on your behalf. He became your sin. So on the cross, what was nailed on that cross, when he was nailed on the cross, was a certificate of debt against you. Everything that you'd ever done, Jesus took that on himself, as if he had done them. And that certificate was nailed to the cross. So that in his death, all those sins were paid for. And that certificate was buried in his burial. But not only was the certificate of debt nailed to the cross and buried, the one who had committed all those sins was nailed to the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross as you. He didn't just die on the cross for you. He died on the cross as you. He was your true substitute. So he, with all the list of all the sins you ever committed, was nailed to the cross. And so in that sense, the certificate of debt was nailed to the cross. And you, the one who had done all those things that were on that list, was nailed to the cross and crucified and buried. So the certificate of debt was buried in Jesus' burial, and the person who had committed all those sins that were on that list, past, present, and future, was buried. Because, and therefore the result of that is, that the circumcision of your flesh was accomplished. Now, does that mean that you don't have flesh? No. You still live in this flesh body. There's a law of sin that lives in your members. But it is no longer your master. It is no longer the primary principle of life. It's no longer the thing in you that controls you. It no longer identifies you. You used to be identified as someone who was in the flesh. But that person no longer exists. You're now in Christ. You can walk after the flesh, but you don't have to. Because you, the person who committed all those sins, was crucified along with all those sins being paid for. And so the certificate of debt that was hostile to you, that condemned you, was buried. The person who committed all those sins was buried. So it wasn't just the condemnation that you were set free from, sin's condemnation, but you were set free from sin's control. The circumcision of your flesh occurred. The old self was crucified. The old self meaning the one who was guilty of all the sins and the one who had committed all the sins. That person died. And you were made alive together in Christ. You were made alive together with him. So you were raised up in him, now having his innocence. You were raised up in union with him, now having his nature and character. Therefore, Jesus Christ, as your life, is your victory over sin. Victory over sin's reign in your life. He conquered sin's condemnation. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. All your sins have been paid for. No matter what you do in the next 6 months, those sins have been paid for. Therefore, is it okay to keep sinning? Well, no, why would you do that? That's the story of Romans 6. Why would you keep doing things that are self-destructive? He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just so you'd be forgiven, but so you'd be a different self. You'd be a whole new person. You would be one who's in union with Jesus, and you would be now in union with his character, his nature, his wholeness, and his innocence. In union with his innocence and his wholeness. That's a stunning new self, a new creation that's not just raised up with him, but seated in the heavenly places with him. Therefore, it can be said that at the cross, the enemy was disarmed. He can't condemn you anymore because all those sins have been paid for. He can't control you anymore because the slave to sin was crucified and you're now in Christ and you're one with his innocence. Therefore, he can't accuse you anymore and you're one with his wholeness. Therefore, he can't enslave you anymore. The scripture says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Wow. Doesn't mean that you're Jesus, but you are in union with him. And as he is, so are you in his world. In this world. So you now have the gift of his righteousness. You've become the righteousness of God in the person of Christ. And righteousness means innocence and wholeness. You now are in union with the innocence of Jesus and the wholeness of the resurrected Christ. I've quoted this verse a lot. I'll continue to do it as long as I live. Romans 6:10-11. For the death that he died to your sin once and for all. He became you, and you died in him to your sin once and for all. But the life that he lives, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves now, because you're in Christ, and that person who's a slave to sin died, and the one who's under condemnation died. Therefore, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. You now have been woven into the fabric of his existence, and now your life is all wrapped up in the life that he's living, and he's living that life in us and through us. Think about that. That's stunning reality. That's Colossians chapter 2. Remarkable, remarkable scripture. Well, I pray that encourages you to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased for you, because he is your freedom. Have a great, blessed day. I'll see you tomorrow.